This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
This is going to be about examination. I want to go through the exam so you see what kind of data could be gotten from the exam. And again, this goes to your question of why aren't you telling me how to fix my polycystic ovarian syndrome or my blood sugar or my diabetes or my fibromyalgia or whatever it is that you come in with. And it's because everybody's different. And it's because there are a lot of moving pieces to it. And that's something I explained in our initial two episodes in which we talked about whack-a-mole medicine versus functional medicine and functional neurology exam, because we practice functional medicine, we practice functional neurology. But the exam is incredibly important. And so I have our exam sheets in front of me here as a guide. And I'm just going to walk through this with you. And as I talk about the different areas of examination, you're going to find most of them are examination procedures that you've been through. Okay, but I'm going to go through why, from the functional perspective, they may be a little bit more important to delve into. So first thing we do when a patient comes in is we take their vitals. You go to the doctor and your vitals are taken. But the difference between functional medicine and medical medicine is pathology. Okay, the medical community, although small parts are starting to morph over towards what we're doing. it's mainly about pathology. It's mainly about, look, your tests are okay, your kidney's okay, you're only in stage 2 or stage 3 dysfunction of shutdown. We'll wait until it's like gone and then we'll do kidney dialysis. It's about you having pneumonia, we'll give you a medication for it. And I am not anti-medicine. Those of you who know me, have watched me, know that. But it is about pathology. And meaning they're waiting until you have developed something that can be cut out, radiated, medicated, or something in the area of their toolbox. We're looking for function. So like, for example, first thing we do is we take your blood pressure. We take it seated, we take it standing, we take it laying down. There's reasons for that. There are conditions that we have called POTS that we've seen. But also we treat people for adrenal problems. And if a person gets lightheaded when they go from sitting to standing, we know if they're not having a TIA, a stroke, which they usually aren't, because that's usually be checked by the time they got here, usually that's a sign of poor adrenal function. Usually it's a sign of low adrenal function. The blood pressure also could be high. I've so many patients who've come in here and we took their blood pressure and their blood pressure was significantly low, like significantly. And they were on blood pressure medication. And it turned out what had happened was every time they go to the doctor, they have white coat syndrome. And meaning that they got nervous when they went to the doctor. The doctor gave them blood pressure medication. And then it drove them into low blood pressure. Why is that important? Whether they're in low blood pressure because of that, or whether they're in low blood pressure because they have low blood pressure, that's not good. Doctor tells you it's great. You're not going to die of a stroke or a heart attack. I'm going to tell you we need normal blood pressure. If you have low blood pressure, you're not getting. You know, your heart's here. You know, your heart's here, and your brain's here. You're not getting enough blood to your brain. If you have low blood pressure, you're not getting enough blood pressure to your extremities. So you're not getting oxygen to your extremities. If you have low blood pressure, it's more difficult to get nutrients to your brain, nutrients to your extremities. Nutrients to push into your cells. That's what blood pressure does. Blood pressure pushes things in through to the extremities, and it pushes nutrients into the cells. Well, if you're trying to fix somebody with herbs and botanicals, or you're online, here goes to one of those reasons why you might not be telling you what to do. Okay, if you're online and you're taking all these supplements and they're not working, and you have really low blood pressure, and somebody's told you that's great, low blood pressure is not great. Low blood pressure usually leads to long-term types of conditions that just don't get better. You don't get better as well when you have low blood pressure. So low blood pressure from a functional perspective in a place where you're using nutrients and diet and you're using these types of things, if it's there, it's important. It's got to come up. And I'm not going to get into all the ways that you do that, but that's, it's actually, in most cases, it's not that hard. And you can, then you can do your internet search for that. We do, same thing. We actually do tissue perfusion. We actually try to find out, we put a device on your finger that measures how much oxygen you're getting into your finger. And we test the lungs too, how much. So most of you may be familiar with testing oxygen. We're going to talk about the basics and foundation of getting better next time. And one of those things we're going to talk about is having proper oxygen, which means having proper blood pressure and a number of other things. This all goes to the exam. So if we find out that your tissue perfusion into your fingers and your toes is not good, we immediately start looking towards the fact that if this is something a patient decides to do or we decide to extend care to, we're gonna have to get blood into those extremities. Because I have news for you: if you're not getting blood into your extremities, you're probably not getting it to your brain, and you're probably not getting it to your intestines. And so, and you could have a normal lung perfusion. So you could have, like, for those of you who may be familiar with that, you go into the doctor and they teach you and they check you for it, and they'll say, oh, it's 93%, and that's great. Anything above 90% of oxygen perfusion into your lungs, a capacity into your lungs is good. We like to see it at 98%. Functionally, that's what makes everything work better. That's what makes people get better. That's more oxygen. That's what makes nutrients work better. Okay, most of our patients are in and around the 90s. Most of them are good. Some of them come in, they're not. But then we look at their tissue perfusion. Is it getting from the lungs to your extremities? And if your tissue perfusion is like almost gone, like most of our patients are, because they're stressed, because they have a thyroid problem, because they have a low blood sugar, because their T2 is low, their T3 is low. There's not even a T2. Because their thyroid hormone is low, their active thyroid hormone is low, and a number of other things, smoking, a number of other things that do it. Depending on the severity of that case, we might not even take the case if the person's not willing to stop smoking, depending on the severity of the case. If it's a less severe case, we might take them. But it's a big factor. It's a big factor to understand what's going on there. So of course we check height, weight. Obviously, we want to know if the person's overweight, and that leads to different things about looking for diabetes, looking for insulin resistance. Overweightedness also causes high blood pressure. So people come in here for high blood pressure, they lose the weight. A lot of times it goes away. If that person comes in here, and that's what they want to do, that's what they're in here for, is weight loss, then, you know, it starts to let us put the puzzle together as to what's going on. We auscultate the heart. I do believe, so I'm not a medical doctor. I don't try to be. We do a very thorough evaluation and exam. I work very well with the medical community where I am, very good relationship here. We do a full evaluation. So we check the heart. Actually, the heart is not something that we directly, even though people might come in here with coronary artery disease, the heart's kind of like at the effect of everything else. So, you know, we'll check the heart. It may or may not be something valuable for us to know, but if we find something that the person has a problem with, we have a hospital about 6 blocks from here, or 10 blocks from here, whatever it is. We look for, we look for things along those lines. We check people's veins, we check people's arteries, because we want to know if there's blood flow getting to different people. Now, one of the bigger things we do is we palpate the thyroid. Now, this is functional. I'm talking that we're in the world of functional, though. But we palpate the thyroid. A lot of people are surprised. A lot of people come in here for thyroid problems. My mentor, Dr. Detis Karazian, was the original Hashimoto's guy. I don't know if it's out of the picture, but his book's sitting right up here. Why do I still have thyroid symptoms when my lab tests are normal? He could have called it, why do I still feel like crap when I'm taking all my medication and my lab tests are normal? But thyroid's complex. The vast majority of them, clinical pearl for you, the vast majority of them are Hashimoto's. Whether you have come to that, to embrace that or not, or you have ever heard of it. And so we palpate the thyroid. People are shocked a lot of times that no one's touched their thyroid yet. If it's enlarged, if it's got nodules, there are certain things that would alert us to the fact that maybe it's pathology and maybe it needs to go and be checked. But if it's enlarged and it's tender, and we look at the sheet that we had that we went over last week, and we look at that history sheet, and they have 18 out of 20 symptoms of Hashimoto's and their thyroid's tender, there's about a 99% probability that person has Hashimoto's. And that's something really valuable to know, because when we move into the testing, at some point we'll talk about testing. You can test for Hashimoto's and you can be full-blown Hashimoto's and your test can come up normal, like the book says. Okay, so in that world, in our world, because we don't use drugs, we use herbs, we use botanicals, we use diets, we use brain rehab exercises. We'll talk about that later, because we do functional medicine and functional neurology. But I think most of you listening here are interested in the functional medicine. That allows us to start to advance our treatment, because even though the test would be normal, because we would have the history. This is where we start to understand. We would have a history that says 18 out of 20 things say the person's got a thyroid problem. We have a palpation here that says you have a thyroid problem. Maybe we need to send you out for a nodule that feels like it might be a potentially 1 in 100 chance of cancer. But for the most part, if you're inflamed, the chance of you having Hashimoto's is high. We can start in that direction safely and frequently get, you know, some sort of results in very early on. Now, we palpate people's lymph nodes. What do we do for a living? We treat, our office is kind of like, we kind of treat mystery diseases. We treat the diseases where nobody knows what it is. We treat fibromyalgia, peripheral neuropathy, chronic fatigue. You can look online, vertigo, dizziness, bouncing. But all of these have unique components. By the time a patient gets here, usually they have unique components of autoimmunity, and they usually have unique components of chronic stress responses, one or the other or both. We're going to palpate the lymph nodes. And if we have a history of a person that has their tonsils out, their adenoids have been out, or they keep inflaming their throat, their lymph nodes are swollen, all this came on after they had a baby or if they had an accident or have something like that, we know they have autoimmunity, but my doctor says I don't have it. My test came back normal. Well, we can't afford that here. I mean, by the time a patient gets here, they've been told everything is normal and all their testing is normal and there's nothing wrong with them. Here, take these drugs. Palpating the lymph nodes can be very, very valuable. And it's something that we do on every patient. And if it's correlative with their disease, but they've already been checked by their doctors and they don't have any pathological diseases, guess what? They probably have an autoimmune problem going on. So that's valuable to us. We look at their eyebrows. It seems like now a lot of folks know that if the outer third of your eyebrows are gone or if your eyebrows just kind of go away, there's a good chance that you have a thyroid problem. It's a very cardinal sign of thyroid. And it used to be considered a cardinal sign of hypothyroid, and it still is. But the statistics are that if you've been diagnosed with hypothyroid, there's about a, depending on who you're following, there's an 85 to a 95% chance you have Hashimoto's. And so again, this is diagnosis. You have a person sitting in front of you, you know what the research says, you've got the history, you've got the exam. You should be able to come up with those three differential diagnoses still today, even though we have all these wonderful things to confirm, you should be able to come up with those differential diagnoses for the functional medicine patient so that you can delve into their case with an organized approach, an organized understanding, the probability of what's going on with them, and know more or less precisely what testing you should do. That not having standardized testing, this helps us to do that. We auscultate we inspect the abdomen, we inspect it for to see if there's any surgeries there, we ask about surgeries. Stretch marks, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but stretch marks frequently indicate autoimmunity. There are women who get stretch marks and there are women who don't get stretch marks. There are guys who get stretch marks when they lose a lot of weight. But basically, this goes to the patient who has had surgeries. They get a surgery, and then like a year later, they have scar tissue, and then the scar tissue comes back, and they have to keep getting it cleaned out. It's similar to what happens with those stretch marks. So if we see those stretch marks, again, right then and there, we're thinking, okay, we may have autoimmunity here. So this is, hopefully this is kind of a new understanding to you, because a lot of people come in here and they're confused, rightfully so, about autoimmunity, because autoimmunity is confusing. It's what has complicated our life here over the last probably 30 years. And it's something that the testing is still in its infancy. Everybody comes in here and says, well, my rheumatoid arthritis test was normal, but then it wasn't. But then it was normal, but then it wasn't. My lupus test was, I have all the signs, but my lupus test. Look, if you have the signs and you have the symptoms and you're having the rash and you're having all those things, you have it. But doctors will be hesitant to diagnose you with it. And thus, if they won't diagnose you with it, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of steroids, because they're going to be afraid if they make a mistake, they're going to get sued. So in functional medicine, we're not going to do anything that's going to hurt anybody. We can take those steps forward. So we inspect the abdomen. We auscultate the abdomen. And what I mean is we listen to the abdomen. And basically, in the end, we're looking for the churning, the gurgling sounds. We're listening to see if they're there or not. If they're not there globally, okay, if they're not there throughout the entire intestines, that person is in a chronic stress cycle. Because basically their brain is shutting down something called the vagus nerve. And when you're in fight flight, there's a part of your brain that's going really, 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 really fast. But there's another part of your brain that's supposed to be making you relax that's not at that point in time. So it's being overwhelmed. That part of the brain that's being overwhelmed is part of the brain that makes you have nice bowel movements. It's part of the brain that makes you sleep. Parasympathetic nervous system. If you don't have auscultation of sounds in there, then you are in, we know you're in fight flight. If we shake your hand during the exam and your hand is moist, in some of your cases slimy, and not to be derogatory, but I mean, most of the patients who have that actually will describe it that way. We know you're in fight flight. We know that you have a chronic stress response going on. This is incredibly important to both functional medicine and functional neurology practitioners, because functional medicine practitioners will start to use herbs and botanicals to try and get it under control. Functional neurologists will try to do brain rehabilitation exercises. In our office, we've chosen to complicate things. The only thing I do that's not simple, and put the two of them together, and that for us, that seems to work better in getting that fight flight under control. But you can tell, you know, in an exam, is the patient sweating? Are their feet cold? Are their hands cold? I told you that you're not getting blood there when your hands and feet are cold, or when they're not getting enough oxygen in there. But what causes that? Two main causes of that is chronic stress responses and thyroid and misdiagnosed or mismanaged thyroid. So again, this goes back to, you know, you're telling us all about the thyroid, and you've told me about the thyroid. Why can't you tell me, you know, how to take care of it? Well, what's causing that cold? Is it thyroid? Is it stress responses? That requires a little further investigation, and then each one would require different treatments. So if you tell me, you know, I got a headache and my hands and my feet are cold and I got a migraine, I can't tell you a whole lot from that online. Although I know people that would be happy to shove about, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 supplements at you and go, here's what you take. That's really not the way functional medicine was designed. This is the way it was designed. So a decrease, and by the way, for those of you who are astute diagnosticians, I am aware that if we do have an absence of bowel sounds in one part of the bowel but not the others, that's a bowel obstruction, and you should go to the hospital like right at that point in time. We do a palpation of the abdomen. We actually palpate every single thing in the abdomen. People are shocked. They've been to gastroenterologists, they've been to their GPs, they've been everywhere. Nobody's touched their abdomen. They're in here and they have all kinds of abdominal symptoms. And sometimes they might not have a lot of abdominal symptoms. And then we palpate. We palpate their large intestines. We palpate all of their small intestines, their ileocecal valve, their liver, their gallbladder. There's the bottom part of their stomach, all the things you can palpate. And if they're And if they're inflamed completely there, that's diagnostic. We know there's going to be inflammation. We're going to be looking for inflammatory markers. But there's a lot it tells us there. You cannot have that much inflammation without having a leaky gut. You can't have a leaky gut without developing food sensitivities.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.